This podcast contains sexually explicit material and adult content. Mature audiences only. Listening discretion is advised.
Hey everybody, and welcome to Pleasure Playpen Sex, Love, and Relationship Podcast. I'm your host, Stacy. I'm here with Thomas, who's going to be discussing all about how he makes BDSM furniture. Although we might be discussing other things. I've been going through his profile, so you never know. So, Thomas, let's start off with, do you specialize in anything in particular?
I wouldn't really say I specialize in anything. Maybe woodwork, because that's all I work with. I don't do anything in metal. I like to do that in the future, but I'm really just a newbie to all of this, actually. I've only been doing it for about 3 years now, so.
I don't know. That's pretty, I mean, I guess that's new, but it's not like you've been doing it for 3 months, so.
Yeah, true.
Well, what got you started in it?
A woman I used to date, you know, we used to, of course, buy all of the little cuffs that you put under the bed and all of that stuff, and you know, relationships progress, you start stepping things up a notch to keep it interesting, you know, so went down in my basement one day, I mean, looked something up online, went in the basement, saw what I had, went to Home Depot, got what else I needed, and put something together.
And it's really not that you just work with wood, because I'm looking at his pictures, going through them right now, and they are covered in leather and padding, and, you know, they've got all the attachments and everything, so it's not like, if anybody can picture it, it's not just like wood. It's really pretty, too.
Well, thank you, I appreciate that.
And I'll post his link to his site and where he sells and everything, so anybody can look him up or get one if they'd like. How did you get into the actual doing of the furniture, though? It's one thing with I'm going to try putting one together. It's another thing with, hey, I'm going to go build this and sell it.
Actually, that came from a friend of mine. So it's a funny story. We were down in my basement the one day lifting weights, and like my workshop area is on the other side of my basement. So I took him over there to show him something I was working on and everything, and he's the one who said, you know, people will buy this stuff. And I'm like, in my head thinking like, no, they wouldn't. Like, because like I said, I'm just starting out and everything. He's like, no, seriously. If you started putting this stuff together and figured out how to do it assembly line style and all of that, like, you could probably make some money doing it. So that's where that part of it came in.
And how well has it been going for you?
It's been going okay. I get a few sales a month. You know, nothing major. I'm not, you know, setting any sales records or setting the world on fire, but I'm happy for something that to go from just being a personal hobby of mine to make a, you know, few hundred dollars a month off of it. I think I'm pretty happy. I mean, obviously I like it to get bigger in the future, but for where I'm at with it, I'm satisfied.
I like this. I don't know anything about BDSM at all when it comes to, I'm not into that lifestyle myself, so there is so much there. I like this, I want to say table, it's not really a table. It folds up. The one I'm looking at that you did was black on either side and then red in the middle, and it folds.
Mm-hmm.
And then
mm-hmm.
I like the next picture where the girl's bent over that. That looks like a lot mm-hmm. of fun.
Oh, it is.
That one looks super fun. So something like that. So I'm going to pick, so people go online and go look up his page, but so you can see what I'm talking about. But imagine a mat on the ground, but it's made with in different sections. What is this called? What would this be called?
It's a bondage board. So it's four different sections, hinges, obviously in three of them so that you can fold it up. I sell it with straps so that you'd be able to carry it in around and everything. So I like it.
So imagine it's got four pieces and three of them can hinge to make a pyramid in the center, like a triangle in the center.
Mm-hmm.
And then it looks like they can be latched together so that it doesn't fall down. Now imagine you're the girl bent over that. And I think that just, That looks like a lot of fun. I feel mm-hmm. like there's some stuff in BDSM that could be a lot of fun that's not too hardcore for me.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like, you know, you would have to pull that stuff out and then pull out the whips and paddles and everything. You know, it could just be used to, like I said, just something to spice things up.
Mm-hmm. What's your favorite thing that you've built so far?
I knew you were going to ask that question, and that's a tough one because every time you make something, I always look at it and it's like, oh, well, maybe if it had this, it would be better. And if it had this, it would be better. So then you make something else. So I went from, initially the first thing I made was a pony stock. And I went from that to the Y-shaped stock that I have. From there, it was like, well, now I need a whole board because you can only be in one position on that. So that's where the board came in. Then I made a stool because why be laying down all the time? Sometimes I like to stand up, so a stool would be nice. And so you see what I mean? Like, you just keep going and going and going. And it's just as far as, like, what your imagination will take you to and trial and error as far as building it.
So are these original concepts, or is this something, things that can be found typically in the BDSM community?
They could be found in the BDSM community. The stool, my stool that I made, I haven't seen that. I actually, it's funny, I was at work one day, we were working with, we had some sawhorses set up, and I was like, I think I could make something for me, like, with, you know, just that simple little concept of a sawhorse. Then I came home and I have a little bar stool set up and everything, and I was like, that's what I'm gonna make. That's exactly how it's gonna turn out. A little bit bigger and everything, but, so that's where that came from.
And is this the red one with the black, like, it looks like almost like snake skin
mm-hmm.
top? What exactly yeah. is that used for? And you're a top, right? You're a dom?
That's correct.
Okay.
Like I said, that could be, it, for somebody, like you said, who's not into BDSM, you could just have regular vanilla sex on it if you like. For me, I use it for spanking and things of that nature.
So going back into how you got into all of this, you had a girlfriend who was into it. Obviously, she was more submissive.
Uh-huh.
Did she take you to any communities that you could get involved with it to learn more? Did you guys just do it at home?
No, we just did it at home.
And then what made you decide you decide you want to go explore this. What was your route? Are you a part of a community or anything?
I've hosted a couple of months and everything. I have, like, met some real good friends up here. Like I said, I wouldn't say that I'm, like, the most experienced person doing this or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's the reason why I wanted to go out, and that's the reason why I joined FET, so I could go ahead and research what different people do, how different builders make things and everything. So, and to me personally, I know, like you said earlier, you know, it's not like I've been doing this 3 months. But at the same time, I just always feel I don't care how long you've been doing anything. There's always something new for you to learn.
Very true.
You know, so, and if you stay in that mindset, then that'll keep you reaching for new heights and you don't get complacent as far as what you're busy doing.
I agree with that. And I did see that on your page, you're also a rigger. So I'm going to give my explanation to the people what exactly mm-hmm. a rigger is from what I've figured out from talking to people, and then you can tell me what it really is. So what I, from my understanding, is it's the person who basically hooks someone up to be, suspended. I forgot the word.
Mm-hmm.
Suspended in some way, shape, or form in while doing, you know, whatever you happen to be into, because there seems to be a whole bunch of different things you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, am I correct in that assumption?
Generally, that's what it is. I wouldn't say, I don't use rope.
Okay.
And the reason why I don't is because it takes too long.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't have the patience. I'll be honest with you. And it's something that is actually a crossover from, again, my professional life. Things that I have to do at work, they cross over into, or I can incorporate them in things that I do as far as BDSM. So, mostly, if I'm gonna rig somebody, they're in cuffs, chains attached to the cuffs, a chain fall or a chain hoist or something like that. That's what I'll use because, like I said, it's so much easier to do it that way.
And I really like how a lot of your stuff is, like, travelable, except for the bigger stuff. But, you know, little travel bags and stuff, you could take this everywhere. Because a lot of things, like, where do you put this, you know? I mean, unless
right.
you have your own little dungeon or basement or something like that. Some of it, I'm sure a lot of people are doing it out places when they go to different parties. Explain what a munch, what, and why it's called a munch. I'm assuming a munch is a BDSM party.
It's not necessarily BDSM. A munch is just, it could be organized around whatever topic a person or that group of people wanted to be organized around. But basically all it is, it's a get together of like-minded individuals who, you know, you sit around, eat dinner. It's a venue that has drinks, then you sit around, drink, eat, and just talk about different activities that you've done and different things involved in, like I said, those different topics and different scenes and everything.
So it's not necessarily a play party. It can
no.
be kind of a hang.
No, yes. It's just for people. And I think a lot of people, myself included, because, like I said, when I first joined FET, you have certain ideas in your head about, oh, well, this is just going to be wild and crazy and everything, right?
Yeah.
And it's not. Not to say that it can't be, but so that when I first joined, like three, four years ago, however long it's been, that's what I thought a munch was. And then, like I said, doing research and looking into it, and then finally attending one and, you know, seeing what they were all about. And a lot of people, those are things that you just come to in your own time. You know, some people aren't comfortable venturing out like that. Especially nowadays, you know, during this whole pandemic thing that's thrown everything out of whack. It's just something that I wanted to do. Like I said, I wanted to learn from other people, see what other people were doing.
And I've said this on one of my other podcasts, is I was really surprised how tight and close-knit the BDSM community seems to be and how friendly they are and open. I mean, they're just wanting to educate and teach. It just amazes me, and I think that's so great. And it's just so tight-knit that I think it's really fascinating that there's so many groups that people belong to in their area and everything. I think that's pretty cool. I just did a podcast with someone who does Shibari, the
mm-hmm.
rope, and that was really interesting. But just how close these communities are that they come out and do things. And it's really not what you expect. Although I have always wanted to go to a fetish club because I see it on TV and I just want to stand and watch because
mm-hmm.
I'm not into that kind of thing, but I'm always fascinated about learning things. And so
right.
I just want to go in there and watch and see what other people do and see what it's really about so that I can get that real feeling of it and not just use what I see on TV.
Right. And like I said, that's my whole thing. I mean, you can let your imagination run wild with stuff.
Yeah.
But if you don't really know and you don't go explore it to actually find out about it, then that's all it is just your imagination. And I'd rather have that, like I said, that hands-on experience with things, especially, like I said, when you're building stuff. I mean, obviously, there's tons of things that you go on any website for the most part of any type of furniture, they'll all have the disclaimer that, you know, this is for novelty purposes only, blah, 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 but nobody's paying $6,000-$7,000 for something to be novelty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like a coffee table in your house. Look at this type of thing. You know, you're going to use it eventually, hopefully.
Yeah.
You're going to use it. Paying that much money for it. So, you know, you want to make sure that you're building materials that are going to stand up to the rigors of what customers are going to use it for.
What's something you are dying for someone to order because you don't want to put out the money for it? Because it's probably something larger, but maybe something that you've just been dying to try to.
You know, really, because there's only a select few things that I'll take on. because like I said, I feel like I do have limitations. So it's not necessarily that I want people to order bigger things. You mentioned earlier how everything I make is travel ready, right? That's because I got kids. So I just can't have my stuff just, like you said, yeah, everybody can't have a whole dungeon set up and all of that stuff. So when I originally set out to do things, it was because I needed to be able to store away what I have. And I always thought that, I mean, you go on different, there's different sites where they have it set up like that, but I just felt like that would be my lane to go into. So it, to me, it doesn't matter what somebody, necessarily orders or what I have in my head that I want to try to tackle next or anything like that. I just want to make sure that whatever I'm making, I know I can make it. I know I can make it into a quality item and my customers will be happy with it.
That works for me. I'm sure people appreciate it. Although you need to add more stuff to your Etsy.
Yeah.
I was on there. I was like, he doesn't have enough. I need to look through his stuff.
Well, the thing is, right now I'm busy because it seems like every time I put something up, somebody buys it. Like,
oh, wow.
It's just gone. And it's, yeah. So it's like that stool, for instance, I built it, had a little photo shoot with it, and 2 weeks later it was sold. And it was just like, okay, well. and a lot of my items, I build them. And I mean, cause like I said, I do have a day job. I'm in school currently, you know, so I wish I had more time to just sit in my basement and devote to doing things in the shop, but I don't. So a lot of people will just message me on Etsy or message me on Fet, tell me which item they want, and then I build it and ship it. I am working on building a website. I'd like to launch my own website by fall of this year.
Very cool. Well, even if you do it as a part-time thing until it picks up, I mean, just being able to post it and it sell, that's awesome. So that's a little, little extra income. And I'm assuming you're selling it all over the country, or is it typically local?
No, all over the country, yeah. Yeah.
Well,
I just
awesome.
Actually shipped out a board today. Guy from Michigan ordered one. He wanted his all black, so that just got shipped out today.
Are they expensive to make or hard to make?
Not expensive. It's time consuming making the boards because, you know, you got to make sure your material cut is right and did it up right and all of that stuff. So that takes a lot of time.
Let me tell you, I've worked with things where I make T-shirts and stuff for people.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, well, the materials itself doesn't cost that much. I'm like, well, one, I'm super cheap as it is. But two, it's like, it's time consuming. One person was like, well, can you just, I was literally about to deliver this really, really intricate sticker. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It took me forever. And I had to do like 100 of them. And then she's like, well, you're coming in like 30 minutes. Can you just real quickly make me this one? Totally different one. I'm like, no, that's like an hour setup. Like it takes
right.
time.
Like that's not how it works.
Yeah. They don't realize like you say, oh, it's just pieces of wood. I could do that. First off, I know I can't. I build stuff. I'm the world's worst builder. Everything I have that's on my property is janky because I build it. but I don't care what it looks like. You know, I don't build stuff for people to look at. But
right.
I personally would rather pay for someone to do it than me try to do it because it's not going to come out nice. And I think a lot of people need to realize, and I'm hoping that because they're thinking of going into the BDSM community, they've already thought about this, go with reputable people. Don't try to build this stuff yourself or you're going to hurt yourself.
Right.
Go with someone who's got feedback, who has the rating, who you look at their profile, you can tell what they know what they're doing, get something. You want to build it later and want to try building it later? Sure. Get some things to start out with so that you can model it off of, but start with someone who knows what they're doing.
When I started, it was just something simple. You know, you don't try to start out with, For instance, I would have never thought to start or make myself a St. Andrew's cross as my first project.
Mm.
Just because that has to, the cross itself has to be balanced. Then you're putting somebody on it. Their weight is going to be leaning on it. So, you know, there's just a lot of variables that go into it. And again, like a lot of what I'm speaking of, I have to think about because during my day job, when we're lifting these beams or lifting these spool pieces to get in place to get welded, and that's part of my training. So that goes into, you know, what I do here as well. And safety, like you said, safety is the number one thing. It's always paramount.
What's the biggest thing you've made?
The biggest thing I made was I made myself a board that is as long as my bed.
And it was like that foldable one that I saw?
Mm-hmm. Yep. But it's heavy, and I hate it.
Yeah, the bigger things get, the heavier they are.
I used it once. After using it, folded it up, took it to the attic. And last year when I cleaned out my attic, I actually broke it down and used it as firewood one night.
I was going to tell you, just take it apart and start over.
Yeah.
Because
I already had the smaller ones the ones that you see in the picture and everything. I wanted something that, and I mean, I knew I could make it. It's just about adding, you know, more pieces and everything to make that panel bigger. But once I made it, it was just like, you really don't even need this. And you can't really, trying to carry it around, it was just like, no, this is not going to work. I'm not taking this in your hotel.
That would be interesting to walk in. It's just a massage table. We're good. I have to bring on a dolly because, you know what I mean? So since you've been now doing this for a couple years, building, you've been in the community for a couple years, would you say you're pretty well-versed on the different furniture that is out there?
No.
Really?
No, because I always see something. And this is the reason, like I said, I'm constantly looking at things, constantly learning things. And you end up seeing different things, and it's just like, well, wow. Just certain things I've seen that just utterly amazed me. There's things I've seen, and if the builder did not describe what it was, I wouldn't have known what it was used for.
There's one that I've seen a bunch of times that I'm dying to know. I've seen a woman on it, so I kind of get a feel for what it's used for, but I don't know what the heck it's called. It is a giant octagon spiderweb thing. It's like an octagon frame with chains going through it, like up and down, that make it look almost like a spider web.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen a girl just standing up against it with her arms, strapped to the top. But it is literally probably 10 feet, 12 feet tall.
It sounds like it would be a variation on the St. Andrew's cross, but with just different anchor points to put somebody on anywhere. That's what I would think in my head, that that's what it would be used for.
That's what I'm Googling. So I typed in St. Andrew's cross spider because I figured spider web. No, that actually is a spider. There is a spider, apparently, called the St. Andrew's cross spider. So that's one of those things that you look up, and guess what? It wasn't as, you're afraid to Google something sometimes. That one was actually a spider. I was hoping I could find St. Andrew's Cross Designs. I'm determined to find out what this thing is because I keep seeing it. So, why is this one called the St. Andrew's Cross? Why is that one called the St. Andrew's Cross?
That's something I don't know either. You know what? I'm gonna have to look that up. I'm going to Google that when we get off of here.
Well, I'm going to have to find. I have a person I'm hoping he'll come on, and he teaches history of BDSM.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd be fascinated to learn. So I'm going to have to look this up. So, yeah, so for anybody who can imagine this, imagine a giant, like a frame, like a picture frame, but octagon, with big, big piece chunks of wood and just metal chains running across it like a spider web. And it was in a gap, like a, I think it might have been like an expo space. And so they had a wall, and it was taller than the wall. So it had to be a good 10 feet. And I just, the things that can be used for pleasure is just amazing. I'm assuming you can't build that in your basement, but maybe one day. You never know. But you're in a pretty big area.
Well, actually, the area that I'm in, it's smaller. I mean, obviously,
you're in Pennsylvania.
But,
far are you from, like, Philly or Pittsburgh?
Philly would be 4 hours.
Oh, okay.
Pittsburgh, about hour 45 minutes.
Okay, so you are pretty far out there then. Never mind.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering what the community was like in those areas for things like this, if they have, you know, any kind of fetish cons or anything like that.
I know that they do. I haven't attended any, but yeah, I know they do.
Well, that is going to be your next step, is you got to go to those with some of your furniture.
Yep. Then the thing is, like I said, with me being in school and everything, and I'll be done with that in May. So once that's over with, then I'll be able to venture out even more and hopefully take my furniture and my sales to the next level.
That'd be great. Well, hopefully with the growth of this podcast, we'll get some sales for you at some point. It just might not be now, might be a year from now. But I will definitely link your page and everything so that people can get a feel of what you have going on. And
I'm just going to continue to try to do better and see where my imagination could take me. Where my imagination, my hands, and, you know, the power tools could take me.
Exactly. As long as you get to test them out and have fun with them.
Yes, always. Always.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. This was a lot of fun, and hopefully I'll keep up with your page and see that you're growing and see your stuff all over the place.
Thanks for having me, and I'd love to come back anytime.
Awesome. Thank you so much.